Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Last Sunday, we read about the importance of prayer and Jesus providing the disciples and us with a way to pray that reflects who God is and who we are in relationship to God. And during my sermon, I presented prayer as a primary way that we get to know God and that we grow in our relationship with God. Because prayer is a conversation with God, even when God is physically not present. In our gospel reading this morning, God is present in the presence of the crowd. He's present in the person of Jesus Christ when someone in that crowd shouts out to him. Now, he didn't have to ask Jesus to do something in a prayer because Jesus was there in person. He was within shouting distance. So instead of praying to God, instead of praying to Jesus, he was able to just shout to Jesus and Jesus heard him. Now, if you could ask God or Jesus a question, what would it be? If Jesus happened to walk by and you saw him in the distance, within shouting distance, what question would you shout out to Jesus? Do you have a question, maybe two, that you've been wanting to ask God? In Bill's Sunday school class, I know they've been working on a list of questions to ask God. And some of you are in there, you know that list is ongoing. Craig Brevik, I think, is a keeper of the list. And we've even added a couple of questions in text talk to that list. What would you ask God if you could today? I hope it would be something profound, something that only God would know the answer to. I hope you wouldn't be foolish and ask God to tell your brother to divide the family inheritance with you as someone in the crowd did when Jesus was passing by. If you had one question, I hope that isn't what you would ask. Our reading this morning comes from the chapter after last week's reading where Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer to the disciples and to us. And last week, the disciples were asking for something from Jesus, and today it is someone in the crowd who is asking Jesus for something. Although this man in the crowd isn't asking for instructions on how to pray, he wants Jesus to help him get his money, his inheritance. Now, the person in the crowd is undoubtedly a man. Reminds me, and maybe more some of you, of Martha in our reading 2 weeks ago, who wanted Jesus to tell her sister Mary, not to give her her inheritance, but to tell her to get up and get to work, because she was tired of carrying the load. And like Jesus did when he responded to Martha, in our story, he doesn't take sides exactly. But he corrects or redirects the one who is asking Jesus for his help. In his response, Jesus begins by referring to this man as friend. And then he asks him, who set him up to be a judge or arbitrator over the man and his financial affairs? You see, there's nothing in the Gospels that indicates that Jesus' life purpose was to come to be a judge and arbitrator over people's financial situations or over other sibling squabbles, right? That isn't why Jesus came, by the way. He makes very clear in the Gospels why he came. He came to usher in the kingdom of God. He came to preach good news to the poor and the oppressed, freedom to the captive and the slave, and to bring sight to the blind. Jesus did not come to be the arbitrator over our inheritance disputes or other sibling squabbles. It's not why he came, and as parents, it's the last thing we want to deal with too. So after warning the man in the crowd to be on our guard against all kinds of greed, Jesus reminds us that our life does not consist of our possessions. You see, we are all more than the things that we acquire. A life that is well lived is not proven or demonstrated by the size of the estate that we amass or leave behind. In over 16 years of ministry, including the last 7 years here, I've preached at nearly 100 memorial services. And not once have I made reference or have I heard any family member or friend in their remembrances make reference to the size of the estate that the person who has passed has left behind. It doesn't happen. A life that is well lived leaves a legacy of relationships. That, my friends, is the inheritance that matters, not the possessions. So Jesus tells another parable, yet another parable. He's always telling parables during this travel narrative in Luke. And this one is called the parable of the rich fool. In this parable, Jesus demonstrates the folly of focusing upon the acquisition of wealth and possessions above all else. Much like the man in the crowd who is worried about his inheritance rather than being attentive to who Jesus is and listening to what Jesus came to teach and preach, the rich man in the story is entirely self-absorbed. Mr. Justin made that point clear. So much so that you may have noticed that in the parable Jesus tells, this man only talks to himself. Maybe he thinks he's his own best audience. I'm not sure. He says to his soul, soul, he addresses himself, interestingly enough. Well, this parable begins with the land producing abundantly so that the rich man did not have enough room to store his crops. What did the man do? He was rich. He owned the land. What did the land do? It produced abundantly. Who harvested that crop? The man? No way. His laborers and his slaves. But yet the man in the parable looks back on all that he has done and then wonders what he's going to do with this abundance that the land and his laborers and the slaves have produced for him. So he decides to tear down his old barns and build new ones. He decides to have his old barns torn down and new ones built. This would be the equivalent of renting another or bigger storage unit, adding on to your garage, turning that spare bedroom into the closet you always dreamt of, or adding a shed to your yard, all to save, protect, and preserve your treasures for yet another day. As I hear this parable, it is both comforting and a bit demoralizing to see that our obsession with possessions is not a new thing. This is not something that was invented recently, something that's a byproduct of our Western civilization or capitalism. This has been going on for a very long time. We as humans want to acquire and save for a rainy day. What good is it to have a large portfolio? The man is asked by God in the parable, if this very night your life will be demanded of you. In last Sunday's sermon, I reminded you of that bedtime prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep, if I should die before I wake. God asks this rich man, what good does it do if this very night your life is demanded of you? It would be foolish, according to the parable and this bedtime prayer, to be worried about your possessions when you go to sleep. That bedtime prayer doesn't say, oh, and keep all of my possessions safe and make sure that lock doesn't get broken. And if I die, be sure to split it three ways between my best friend and my other best friend and my best friend's sister, who I've always had a crush on. Instead, you should be worried about eternal matters, like who will take and guard and care for your soul. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Instead of worrying about being rich with possessions, we should be focused upon being rich toward God. God should be our focus, just like that bedtime prayer suggests. But too often we look toward our possessions, our wealth, our talents for security, for protection, for a sense of who we are, and for a sense of self-worth. When our true security, our true protection, our true worth comes from God. Now, there isn't anything inherently evil about having savings. There isn't anything inherently evil about having a retirement account or equity in your home. Even when the man in the crowd asked Jesus his foolish question about inheritance, Jesus refers to him as friend. He and we become foolish, not for having those possessions, but when we can only imagine using those possessions for ourselves. We become foolish when we only focus upon ourselves. When the man's land produced an abundant crop, the man could only focus upon what he was going to do with it and how it was going to benefit him. He had more than he needed. So what's the solution? Not to share. He had no inkling or idea or concept of sharing. If I have more than enough, shouldn't I share with those around me, with my neighbor, with those who have actually produced the crop that I am celebrating myself for having earned? That, my friends, is foolish. It's foolish when we take and we hoard and we think only of ourselves rather than seeing what good those possessions, those blessings from God, the abundance from the land, what good that might do for others. That landowner could have just as easily, and actually more easily than tearing down your barns and rebuilding them, give away to your neighbor, to your laborers, to your slaves. Make somebody else's life better. You have more than enough. And in many instances, so do we. But he foolishly thought only of himself. I know this is just a parable. So with that in mind, I ask a hypothetical question of this hypothetical story. What do you think people would say about this man at his hypothetical funeral? That he had a huge barn with a lot of crops stored up? And who do you suppose would be fighting over his estate? That's the point. It doesn't matter. What matters is focusing upon God. Now, in the verses that follow our reading that we didn't read from this morning, Jesus goes on to tell the disciples not to worry. Don't worry about your lives. Don't worry about what you will eat or what you will wear. And then he tells them to consider the ravens. And they neither sow nor reap, nor do they have a storehouse or a large barn with all these crops stored up. Yet God provides food for the ravens in the air. How much more value are you than the birds? Jesus asks the disciples. And he asks us as well, if God provides for the birds, if God provides for the ravens, how much more value are you than they? So don't worry about these things, Jesus says. Don't worry about these things, because by worrying, who among us can even add 1 hour to our life? Don't be greedy. Don't be selfish. Don't be foolish, but instead trust in God, who provides for the ravens, who clothes the fields with beautiful lilies. Don't be foolish, my friends. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. Amen.